Yes, Brass Tax. Is anybody there? Brass Tax?
Aye.
Can we get you, please? Like I said, we were having a technical problem, so that's why we have been, yeah, we are talking together until we get that problem solved. So okay. If you can go on, let's ask the, I'll ask anybody who's listening who wants to call to hold on until we get this issue resolved.
Hello.
You have spoken about the.
Line, just to let you know that we do have a caller on the line.
Aye.
But at the same time, when people were experiencing the trauma, the financial disturbance in their life, it might have made people seem to feel, because it was threatening their customary way of life, they now have to see differently, behave differently because COVID. Do you think it might have made people believe, as like the old people said, that the world was coming to end, their way of life, it disturbed their belief system, their values, they were no longer as assured about themselves in the society of the society, and they might have been questioned about their continued existence. Do you think then, if that is so, how do people balance that, or how do people resolve it? And what do people resort to in order to turn that to their advantage?
Yes. I think that's what happened, you know. It brought into being some, as you said, the trauma, it brought into being a type of collective trauma. People have never had to live through a pandemic before. So we are living through history, and you heard many, many things. One thing that was clear was that people felt as if these are the end times. Yes, you have had since then a proliferation of conspiracy theories that have put forward many, many understandings of where COVID came from, what it's supposed to do, the supposedly hidden agenda of it, all these things. Yes, and people have, you know, been traumatized, a collective trauma that the society has been experiencing. But from a sociological perspective, I must say, that's how social change happens. Because remember, these aren't necessarily things, we can't always control social change, and change is always happening. Sometimes it's sudden, but in this case, it was sudden. So what tends to happen then, the people of the society have to adapt and they have to adjust. And that's how societies continue to survive. And historically, globally, we've seen that those civilizations that were able to effectively adapt have been those that have survived. And the ability of a society to effectively deal with the changes that are coming at them has a lot to do with how they react, how they plan, and so on. And I think that in the, you know, speaking about the big picture and so on, we, the government has done an excellent job in planning, creating this plan of how we as a society will be dealing with COVID, how we've nipped. I think we've effectively nipped it in the bud. And we have also tried to calm the fears of people, but those fears will be there. But I think that human beings tend to adapt because they have to. Sometimes they're willing to, sometimes they have to. I'm seeing that we have a caller, Mr. Murray.
Yes. Brass Tax. Hello, Brass Tax.
Hey, good morning.
It's still not coming through yet. But
hello.
Can we
because
you aren't hearing the caller either. Can we just
I'm trying to get that technical issue sorted out. So all we can do really is to keep talking. I'm sorry about this glitch. But how would you describe, I know you as a social scientist and a professional, you would have to base your conclusions on empirical evidence, investigation, study, etc. But generally speaking, from your experience, from your training, how would you say Barbados, generally speaking, has managed and adapted this whole COVID epidemic as a society? Well, fairly well?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that in a big sense, we have adapted very well. I think that has been occasioned from higher up, where the government has dealt with it very well, and that has calmed many of the fears of the public. But then on the local level, right, on the micro level, communities are dealing with many things, right? And COVID has exposed a lot of the bare issues that we have always had, and people were just struggling along, but now with COVID.
Such as?
Poverty, yeah. Unemployment, unemployability, right? Uh-huh. There are communities in Barbados where people are unemployable for various reasons, and they are existing in a situation where people aren't working. You have communities and entire communities of people where people aren't working, right? People worked. Some people in the community had jobs, then they lost their jobs. Many of them are workers from the working classes, and COVID has meant that many lost their jobs. So you have communities that cannot survive. People have small shops and so on, but people aren't buying because they have no money to buy. So these are some of the things that COVID has exposed. It's the communities were poor, but now they are poorer. And the ability to adapt, some of them are not sure how to adapt. They may not have the skills and so on to adapt. So those are some of the things that have been exposed.
Is it likely then that some of these stresses and strains can be translated into negative manifestations where there is an upsurge in violence, crime, drug taking, a lot of the negativity that are associated with human behavior?
Yes, I think so. Because generally speaking, one social phenomena tends to filter into other social phenomena. And I think that the accelerated poverty, yes, is fueling crime. Drug abuse may have been there, but yes, drug abuse. And you know what else? It could be to a general sense of alienation. Uh-huh. And a type of anomie that is prevailing in the society.
Would you like to explain those two concepts, please?
Yes, I will. Alienation is when people in a society feel separated. What alienation has been described as something that faces individuals. On a societal level, it is where people in a society feel separated from the norms and the values and the very existence of the ways in which their societies function and that kind of thing. And alienation is fueled by social processes, whether it's, you know, inequalities in the workplace, and in our case, it's fueled by COVID. Now, anomie is a specific sociological term described by one of the classical sociologists by the name of Durkheim, and Durkheim lived through a massive social change, right? He lived through the Industrial Revolution, and he saw the effects that the Industrial Revolution had on European societies. So he said that anomie arises when a society becomes, when the people in the society become unclear about the norms and the norms and values become disrupted. They go all over the place. They go haywire, right? Norms and values get disrupted when a society is going through changes, right? And the changes are so many that the people in the society are no longer aware of what is a norm, what is a value. So I feel too that COVID has brought into being that what I'm talking about, anomie, a helplessness, a malaise.
Hopelessness thing.
A type of hopelessness, in a way, yes.
What would you say is the role and value of values and norms in society? What role do these factors and these traits perform in a society to help to keep them stable, to give them a sense of worth, to keep them established? What is the role of values and norms in society in general?
Norms and values are very important because they are the foundations by which that society functions. Values are things like, if we could simplistically state that values are the cultural standards of a society, right? But they're abstract. So if we walk around and ask the general public, what is a cultural value? What's an example of a cultural value? Sometimes people are stumped because they're very, very abstract. But what they do, they indicate what a society deems to be good, what a society deems to be desirable, undesirable, good, bad, etc. And what they do, what values do, they provide legitimacy. They provide legitimacy for social behavior. Mr. Marie, I'm hearing that we are having a call, second caller now, and we don't have, according to the guys, we don't have technical issues. So we might need to take, we have second caller now. We might need to take these calls. We don't want to be rude.
I'm well aware of that, and I'm very conscious of it, but I am perceiving a technical problem at my end.
But he's saying there's no technical problem on his
end. Is this a caller who's saying this?
No. This is the guys on the radio. Radio station people. And so we apologize to the callers, but we are trying to sort the issues out.
Yeah. If you can probably, if I seem to think that the studio seems to be muted, that is the problem. So I'm not hearing.
Oh.
I'm not hearing anybody from the studio. It seems to be muted at that end. That's why it's showing me here on my system. So okay. I really am quite embarrassed.
All right. Let's.
And 5 minutes to 12 noon. Just to let you know that we are 100% here. We have the callers ready to go on the air.
Their very existence, their daily interactions with others, the way in which they function at school, at home, in the workplace, in the community, on the streets. It's a collectivity. It's a collective type of behavior that you have. And the society is what defines what a value is. Norms are usually like the standards of behaviors, what you're supposed to do when X happen or Y happen. For example, a traditional norm in Barbados has been that, you know, when you're walking down the street, you say, hi, good morning, and so on and so forth. And if you don't mind that you and your mother and neighbor mother don't speak, but good morning, right? That has been a traditional norm. Okay, so Mr. Marie, do we still have the caller?
Brass Stacks? Yes, can we take a call now?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Please, let me apologize for the long wait. Like I said, we're having some issues. Now we've got it started. Thank you very much. Go right in, caller.
Right. No, it's okay, Mr. Murray. That was all beyond your control.
And there's also Dr. Dagier.
Yeah, these things do happen. All right. I want to address the lady there.
Dr. Dagier, please.
Right. I get a feeling she's
yes, trained hi,
in psychology. In psychology. Yes, right. Now, can psychology and experts from that is trained in sociology as well? Well, in other terms, both the psychologists and the psychologists, can they play a pivotal role at our prisons?
Excuse me, sir. Sorry, I missed out the last part of what you were saying, if you don't mind.
Okay, I say to you, can the psychologists and the sociologists, both of them, can they play a pivotal role at our prisons? At our prison?
Our prison, you said?
Yeah, at our prison.
Yes, okay. That's your question?
Yeah, I'm asking you if y'all.
Yes, of course. I definitely believe that they play a pivotal, most important role in dealing with the prison. And when you say prison, I assume you mean like the issues of crime and imprisonment and how you deal with prisoners. What about issues like rehabilitation? Yeah, definitely they play a pivotal role. I'm not too familiar with what goes on, but I assume that prisoners receive some kind of psychological help or counseling, or obviously I'm not too familiar. The psychologist definitely is necessary within the prison system to deal with counseling, dealing with mental health issues, because we know that crime is sometimes filled with mental health issues. We know that within the prison itself, people will, even if they didn't have, they may develop mental health issues. So yes, psychology is important. And psychologists also deal with things like personality differences. And sometimes when you, when we know in my reading of criminology and why people commit crime, some of it is that some personality types are more prone to commit crime and so on. So yes, psychologists will deal with that. The sociologist comes in now, where the sociologist can help to create an understanding of the causes of crime and how to deal with the crime and how you deal with punishments and that kind of thing, and how you rehabilitate people, issues of integration back into the community and so on.
Yes, I quite understand. But now, not only the prisons, I would like to see that y'all are both involved in. I would also like to see, due to the fact that, you know, we had here during the COVID period, we had over 50,000 people that are out of work. So yes. I was asking if y'all could set up workshops like twice a week at some place, you know, where you can, you know, talk to some of these people, you know, because we are under a lot of stress, you know, and y'all will be a backbone there, you know, where we can come and sit and listen to y'all, you know, at least 2 days a week, you know, because it can ease a lot of strain. Ease a lot of strain, and y'all are trained how to help people to cope with these type of matters, you know. So a 2 day workshop per week, you know. Because there are a lot of psychologists here. There are a lot of sociologists here as well. So I don't see why at least you can have two.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Very
useful. Very, very useful input. I reminded you that today's program, Brass Hat Standard, is brought to you with the compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. That ad is still not coming through. So
you do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful permaclad U-panel and R-panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices, delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christchurch 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Thank you, William Industries Incorporated. Remember that today's Brass Tacks Sunday, we have our guest, special guest, Dr. Hajima Degye, who's a sociologist and a lecturer in sociology at the Barbados Community College and the University of the West Indies. Can we go to another caller, please? We've had them waiting for a really long time. Please come in, caller.
Yes, hello. How are you all?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Can you speak up, please?
Yes, hello. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Yourself?
Okay, fine. The lady can hear me as well?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
She's Dr. Degye. D-E-G-I-A.
Dr. Degye.
Right.
Okay. Now, okay, I might got a question or two, but I also have a bit of comment as well.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if you might agree with me. I don't necessarily want you to agree with me, but it's my take on what's happened in Barbados. We might have pretty well reached the situation to the anomie stage. It's just my case.
You mean anomie?
Anomie. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Anomie, yeah.
Yes.
Right. It's my take. Now, I don't longer say that Barbados have a subculture. I consider Barbados have a parallel culture. Because I don't see anything really sub about it. Barbados have a culture where, obviously, you got the traditional culture.
You're breaking up, sir. Your phone, your transmission is not very clear. Can you change position or change your phone?
There's nothing they can do because I am a normal landline. There's nothing they can do. So okay. It's not be.
All right, sir. We are listening. We're listening, sir.
Okay, good. As I'm saying, I believe we have two distinct cultures in Barbados.
Yes.
A traditional culture where people accept the traditional things and their norms and their values. And on the other hand, we have a parallel culture where people are doing, adhering to their culture, what they consider their culture. It's almost down the line. Now, if you listen, and I say it more than once, I believe Barbados will not necessarily get back to a strong position unless the media houses in Barbados play a significant role. Now, we have on one hand,
A significant role in doing what, sir?
And help bring the thing, significant role in bringing a sort of a balance or get us back, carry Barbados to the high level that we are at, right? Be prayer. Because you know what culture, as she said, cultures change over 30 years. So what we see in our traditional, on our subculture, our parallel culture,
right,
that transferred over 30 years.
Right.
So that's, they're really setting up in that. You have radio stations, and I don't necessarily, Monica, I didn't find, I don't think I'm doing anything because everybody knows it. You got, like, say, ZR culture. You got the DJ culture. These guys aren't listening really to the traditional culture, you know. So you got people are zooming directly to them. And that's what they're dealing with. So we might very well be.
I get your picture. Like, given that we are behind in our calls, I think I'm sure Dr. Degia has gotten the gist of your argument, and I'd like to give her a chance to respond and anyway analyze and explain it for us. Thank you very much for calling, Dr. Degia. Can you deal with the issues he raised in that question of a traditional culture and parallel culture? What's a traditional culture? What could he mean by a parallel culture, and how we respond to it?
Right. So I understand what the caller is saying about traditional culture. We have a case of traditional culture was what prevailed in what we might say old time Barbados. But you have I wasn't entirely clear what the caller was meaning by parallel culture. But I'm assuming that he means that all the new things that have happened, subcultures and so on.
Subcultures, right.
Things that are happening that is leading to other formations of subcultures and so on. And yes, that is correct. Because anytime that you have social changes, you will have what the caller is calling parallel cultures, for sure.
But is it possible to go back to, I'm sure you've read a sociologist called Tonese,
yes,
who talks about moving from traditional culture, from community to society, and various changes. But is it possible sociologically to ever get back to a traditional culture, or aren't there new, are there different traditional cultures being formed as we go along into the future?
Yeah, that's a good point, Mr. Marie. I don't think we can go back. Right, because that's the nature of societies, that's the nature of cultures,
right.
Cultures adapt to things happening around them, and then they grow and they evolve and different things happen. So I don't think we can go back to traditional Barbados. So what is happening is that external internal changes will create and has been creating a new Barbados, a new culture, not entirely new, right? But it is through the process of adjustment and adaptation. We're having new formations. We can't go back. I don't think that any society is able to go back or to resist change.
The caller mentioned the media in Barbados, radio station, etc. That's one of his favorite themes. But can you therefore, can I use that to ask you to explain what are the agents of change? What are the agents of culture? How is culture transmitted, formulated, okay, values and norms? Or what are the agencies, institutions, and activities that help to transmit and maintain and retain and reinforce culture?
Yes. Culture is the agents of culture are the institutions of society, the family, religion, peer groups, the media, and when we say media, now in the world that we live in, the media is no longer TV and radio, right? The media is now social media, right? And social media is constantly evolves. Every day there's some new app. Every day there's some new social media thing coming up, some social networking thing that people are joining. There's Instagram, there's Facebook. Well, the young people say Facebook is for old people, but there's Instagram and there's Twitter. There's always something new. And now the young people are talking about Discord and so on. So when we say media, we don't no longer mean radio and TV.
Right, and newspapers,
correct.
Right.
So those are the agents of culture. So culture is transmitted through socialization, right? When an individual interacts with their family, their church, or whichever religious institution they are interacting with, they will be taught culture. The school is an important institution for the transmission of culture, and so on. Media, peer groups, all those things. But we don't learn culture intentionally all the time. Sometimes culture, there are formal mechanisms by which we learn culture, and there are informal mechanisms. For example, sometimes we pick up things you do and things you don't do, not because people are saying it to you, but through observation, right? Pure observation. A bad look that a parent might give you would tell you, look, that's not something you should do. And you just internalize it, and you probably will pass that on to your children. So sometimes you have things that you are taught to do and not to do. Your community, your neighborhood, your street, the block, all those are agents of transmission of culture.
What about your peer groups, like at school, mm-hmm. your friends, your close friends, the blocks? Those are also very, very important agents of change, because at a certain level in a person's, certain time in a person's development, their peer groups are most important, even more important than family to them.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's very true. You know, we traditionally could have said that the family is the most important agent of socialization and the transmission of culture. But today, the peer group has taken over a lot of that. So people, children, especially teenagers, they're very influenced by the peers. And nowadays, it isn't necessarily a face-to-face peer group interaction that's influencing them. Nowadays, right. It's also the social media interaction that is influencing them. What people say about them on Instagram, and if somebody liked their photo, and then there's a lot of cyberbullying and so on. Mr. Marie, I'm seeing that we have some callers. We have about...
Right. Yes, I just can't
wait. Waiting, and we have news at 12:30.
Yes, thank you very much. We'll go to Williams Industries. We take a commercial break, then we come back and go into take a couple more calls, then go into another aspect specifically related to the issues such as marijuana, cannabis usage, same-sex marriage, even Republican status that might be concerning people today. Brass Tack Sandy is brought to you with the compliment of Williams Industries Incorporated.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals, we have it all.
Now is the time for you to fence your property with galvanized green, white, or brown chain link fencing and our brown band galvanized pole pipes, which are the longest lasting. We will give you a free estimate too on all your fencing materials.
For building supplies, big or small, at Williams Metals, we have it all. At Williams Metals, we have it.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Brass Tack Sandy, can we go to phones, please? Come in, caller. Hello, Brass Tack Sandy. Caller.
Hello.
Are you there? Come right in, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want to look at the situation that exists between the sexes in society. Hello?
Yes, hi, sir. Listening here.
As you know, there are four sexes, and they all play a different role. They all occupy different classes in society. Now, I want to look at the heterosexual class. Now, anal sex apparently has been with us for 100 years. I believe it came down from the days of slavery. And some of us, or all of us, are still enslaved in the practice. Now, I want to look at the consequences of imposing the legal status of the sexes, because it is in accordance with the Constitution and the laws of Barbados to stay away from anal sex. But in the sex in the
Caller, you're breaking up, and we're not be able to follow your contribution clearly. Is there anything you can do about that? Are you closer? You need to go closer to your phone to improve. The quality is not good for listeners. Pardon? Your cell phone?
Yeah.
We're not hearing you clearly, sir.
I call that.
Are you better now?
I call that.
Brass tacks? This is Brass Tacks.
Hello?
Brass Tacks, yeah, come and call her.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I don't know if these two characters that I'm about to mention have any official names, right? But we have a culture of ignorance, right? We have the gun culture and the violent culture. And where these things will grow, nothing is being done about it. Is that our culture? We have a problem that's been going on for over 40 years where, and not all of them are bad, where the capability is merely, hello?
I'm listening, sir.
Yeah, it's merely the nasty music that is attracting all school children. For every problem, there's a solution. And I've been saying this for years. And I used to work in government. I never wanted my salary cut. They hastily went to Parliament and the legislative law that the salaries be cut. How come the same principle cannot be applied to the PSV situation? But you know what? Mm-hmm. I sat down the idea and something went through my mind. Most politicians who sit in Parliament are lawyers. Most of them are criminal lawyers. If there's no crime, there's no them. So if we bring solutions to the crime rate in Barbados, the lesser work they will have. And I challenge any of them to come today or any time and challenge what I just said. And I make no apologies now or ever. I have thought this thing up through all different avenues and areas, and it came to that one simple thing. It's like an undertaker telling Barbados, I will let all people to live healthy lives and eat healthy foods. Really? When his survival depends on people dying? Now, there are solutions, but for some reason, nobody is doing anything about it. And that is my greatest concern. People's lives are being put at risk. You can't have a risk going in your veranda and ideas and say, don't. You can't take that chance?
Yeah.